know, you never know what you're going to find when you come and visit the Lamb household. If you happen to show up yesterday, we were Monty Python the whole day. And to the point, I think Haley was like, I'm out of this family. I'm leaving it. I'm over. I'm done. So, but you know, it's amazing to me how life is just not doable without Jesus, is it? Really isn't. And in 2018, what I see is I see in every single heart, if you call this your home, I want your heart so alive with Christ. I want your heart so invigorated with just a love for Jesus that it just trumps everything else. It overshadows everything else. And part of what this message today is all centered around is just kind of giving your heart that kind of jump start and encouraging you, challenging you in whatever way I can as just a preacher. And sometimes that's difficult to challenge you as a preacher. And other days it just seems to really flow. But let's pray and let's get started in this message. And as we get started, I want you to turn to a section of scripture here real quick. I want you to turn to Haggai chapter 1. Oops. And in Haggai chapter 1, starting at verse 14, this is what I read. Chapter 1, verse 14. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. It says, so the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel. Nice. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel. Boy, I'm glad we don't name our kids Old Testament names. Governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Very, very important. What I see is, I see three things right there. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Joshua. The Lord stirred up all the remnant of the people. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you that you would come by the power of your Holy Spirit and stir our hearts up today. Lord, stir us up. Let this church, let this service be the great heart department. Where you awaken our hearts, stir us up to do great and mighty things, not just this day or this week, but this entire year. Lord, let us see all that you want us to see for the year of 2018, and let us be willing participants in everything that you've purposed for us. Stir our hearts, Holy Spirit. Use me as a mouthpiece in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's funny, but the oldest symbol representing a word is that ampersand. You know what I'm talking about? That little squiggly thing that does this? That was used as shorthand. And the guy who did this, his name was Marcus Tiro in Rome in 63 BC, long before Christ. Long before Christ, they use this. This is one of 5,000 symbols that has still remained. Shorthand, 5,000 symbols that still remain from this guy Marcus, who invented it in 63 BC. This symbol, which was used for over 1,000 years, today, that ampersand, that little thing right there, is one sign that survived, and it means this, and. That's it. It means and. What that means to my message today is this. Partnership is important. You know, one of the most important things that have survived through every generation is partnering. I need you, you need me, and more importantly than that, you need God. You need the Spirit of God in your life. You can't do God, you can't do Christianity alone. I can't do church without church. You are the church. You can't do church without the church. You can't do church alone in a kayak on the bay. If you could, I would. You would. I just would. You can't do it apart from the body. You have to be fit and put in a body. And that means you have to be supplying and receiving. There has to be a give and take going on at all times. And none of us are the same. You just saw that we're all a little different. And, you know, thank God for that diversity. Some of you have different natural giftings than I do. Thank God for that, because I need those giftings. Some of you are great money people. Some of you are great planners. Some of you are great organizers. Praise God for the Rebeccas in the world. And you know, I thank God not just for that, but some of you are just diehard servants. You will show up and work and do all the things that are required just because you love to do it. I love that. Some of you are natural born encouragers. You know, the depressed ones in the crowd really appreciate and need you. You know, there are others that are just as bold as all get out. You don't even have to tell them much and they're ready to tackle everything. And thank God for those people who just are natural born leaders, who initiate, who stand up and just do all kinds of things. Why is it that God has created his body to be like that? And what do we see in 2018? I see a lot of individual members coming together in partnership to accomplish what God has called them to do. It takes the Spirit of God, and I look at this section of Scripture where it says, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Joshua. The Lord stirred up the remnant. Wow. Do you know what that means? That means in the Old Testament that there was a revealing and an uncovering. A revealing, an uncovering. I remember at one point, I guess I have to say, in the New Testament when it talks about stirred up, it means shaking it. Shaking, agitating, instigating and stirring it up. You know, when Petrae and I redid this old house, I'm telling you, 150 years old, and at one point I had this contractor, and we were tearing up this one section near the foundation on the southeast side of the house, and it was where one of the old kitchens, or a portion of the old kitchen where the servants would be, that's where they were at. And while we were digging through the earth and stirring things up, agitating things, up until this point, all I knew about our house is it was crazy, crazy old. It was on the register for National Historic Whatevers, and it was on a tour for haunted houses in that part of Illinois. And it was pretty fun because in the middle of the night, we'd have tour buses stop in front of the house, and then everybody would take pictures. It was creepy. Even the police wouldn't want to come into our house because they were superstitious, and they didn't want to get the spooky stuff on them. And we were like, we live here now. It's all gone. Whatever was here, it's gone now, buddy. And this house had all this story and history. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch included in one of five houses that was used during the Underground Railroad. And so it was one of the first stops on the Illinois side as they were trying to, you know, get slaves to freedom. And I look at this and I'm thinking, man, we're digging in the ground and we're tearing stuff up. And all of a sudden my contractor, as casual as all get out, lays a bone on top of a section of the place we were working. And he goes, I wonder who this came from. And I looked at it and I went, ha ha, that's a bone. And he goes, yeah. And then he smiled and he's like, isn't that exciting? And I'm like, I don't know what to think about this. Is there any more down there? I mean, it was a little weird. And I just thought that house had so many things that as you stirred stuff up, broke it apart, got into it, you discovered. You know, part of the joy of partnering with each other is you agitate and stir each other up and it reveals things. Now, what I'm excited about is not the stuff that it reveals that's yucky. It's the good stuff that it reveals. Now, I can't go without saying that when you agitate somebody, it also reveals the ugly stuff. I remember my mom telling me one time, she says, you know which dog in the pack you hit with the stone? And I said, how do you know which dog you in the pack you hit with the stone? It's the one that yelps. And I went, okay, what's that mean, Mom? And she goes, well, when you're a pastor, a lot of times if you throw a truth out in the congregation and then you get a call the next Monday morning that says, Pastor, I really just was irritated by that point. See, sometimes pastors are just agitators. That's all we do. You know, if you think I'm here just to rub your shoulders and, you know, give you a good gift certificate to a gas station or something like that, or say, thank you, thank you, thank you. I mean, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, I will do that. But there are times where I say, hey, I'm here to mess you up.
I'm here to make you uncomfortable. You're doing it, Pastor. You're doing it right now. I know, but I'm only getting started. Stop. This is painful. Just wait until I start shaking. and then sometimes it really stirs you up. And it reveals things in us. It reveals areas where we're not growing yet, where we're not mature in our faith, or where we're scared, or all kinds of things. It just does that. But you know, it's not something that feels good. We don't like it. But I don't like working out either. And just recently I started doing this workout because I just got the impression that I was fat and lazy. And it just happens every year around January. But give me time. In about 4 weeks, I'll forget about it. And so I started doing this workout. And, you know, this particular workout, this CrossFit workout, there's a lot of ladies in the class. And I've told my wife, I said, I am not even a good woman. These are all twice as strong. They're all like crazy in shape. I can't do half of the exercises that they do without belly aching and whining. Something hurts that I never knew hurt before. I can't do the stretches. I can't do the things. And by the end of it, I'm sweating like a pig and I'm just like miserable. I'm not a man. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, this is horrible. I don't like working out. But you know what? After about a week, I was like, hey, that muscle over here didn't hurt as much. But I found another one. Oh, I didn't know that works. And it's like, and then as I got up in the morning, there were things that didn't hurt when I stepped up and stuff like that. But then there were other things that did hurt. And I look at this and I think, you know, that is what shaking stuff up in the spirit really does. And thank God for pastors, because pastors really do that. I read this this little poem, and bear with me. It's a little long, but it's about pastors, and I really like talking about myself. So here we go. It's a poem. It says, preach us a sermon, preacher, but don't preach very long. Just tell the story of Christ's love and don't condemn the wrong. Say not a thing of doctrines false, lest others be offended. Then they'd turn away from us and call us narrow-minded. Preach us a sermon, preacher, but don't preach very plainly. Let others guess what you mean and don't ever call a name. We'll sing your praises loud and long, and we'll keep you many a day, but make it clear and you will hear, brother, be on your way. There are times where preaching is very uncomfortable, both for the audience and the preacher. And there are times where I myself get to share things, and before I even mount the pulpit, I go, Lord, could you please pick someone else to deliver the message today? Send anyone. Send Brother Bill. Send Sister Trish. Anyone, you know? And he says, nope, you're the guy. And so then I bring it. And you know, sometimes he preaches the harshest message to me in private because he wants me to feel it and me to be stirred up. And it does. It moves me. But you know, I don't believe it just starts with preachers. I believe that God uses some specific people to stir us up. And let's look at Haggai 1. You know what Haggai 1 says? It says that at the very first chapter, it says, in the second year of Darius the king, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came, what? By the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel. So, stirring up. What is God doing? Well, God, in his awesome wisdom, has given the church five main gifts. One of them is a prophet. There's others, apostles, teachers, preachers, evangelists. These are great gifts. And you know what each and every one of them do in some part, in some shape, form, or another? They stir you and I up. And the prophet is the person that comes and says, this is what the Lord says. Sometimes it's a word of comfort. Sometimes it's a word of exhortation and encouragement. Sometimes it's a declaration of what is out of place and needs to be made right. But the word of the prophet, it comes because there's a quickening in their heart and their mind. This is what God is saying right now. It's for this moment. Someone needs to declare it. Someone needs to open up their mouth and say what needs to be said. It's like that stupid song that gets stuck in my head every now and then. Say what you want to say. And let the... Never mind. I was waiting for Chloe to like break out in the song too. Honestly, I want to see you be... Never mind. So that song is so corny. Anyway, now it's going to be stuck in my head all day long. So What I mean is this. When the Lord moves on the prophet's heart, they speak. And if that person is sensitive to God's spirit and they act in love, you know, they're really not concerned with, well, does it make sense in minister to me? Is it the right time to this or that? They just know obedience and faithfulness is key. And they stand up and with sensitivity to the moment, they do what is required. They do what is necessary. They say what needs to be said. Now, the apostles, what do? They start things. These are the people that are like hatchets in the world of God. These are the ones that are bull mooses. They just say, all right, this needs to be done. No one else is doing it. I'm going to do it. And they just do it. And then they usually grab other people that are just servants and willing to just be drug along. And they say, yeah, and you're going to do this with me. This is great. This is what God wants for us. And then next thing you know, something is started. And then you start setting in order everything. All right, I want you to do this, and I want you over here, and I want you over this. And then boom, God, great. I'm out of here. Preacher, get in there and shepherd that. That's basically what they do, but they serve a purpose. They shake things up and they get things moving. And they have great gifting to oversee, and they have great gifting to make sure things continue to stay in order. But they're not alone. They need somebody else. They need evangelists. They need other things that will shake it up. And one of the things that I love, back when I was a young guy and my mom and dad were pastoring the church, we just moved to this small church. And this church, in fact, Bob and Mary do puzzles. And Bob and Mary do puzzles. We do puzzles at Christmas time too. One day I was over at their house and I saw this puzzle they were working on, and I made this comment. I said, hey, that looks like a church that I grew up in. It was this little French church that was an outpost early on in the history of St. Louis. And my dad and mom took this church over, small little one room church with a basement. And I'm telling you, this thing was awesome. Old, awesome looking church. And I said, it brings back a lot of memories. At Christmas, they gave that to us. They put it in a nice frame. And now I look at it downstairs in our basement, and I look at that and I go, oh man, that's like the church I grew up going to, Rue St. Francis. This is awesome. But you know what really shook that church up? Evangelists. What do I mean? Because during the latter part of what the Jesus movement was, how many of you, come on, George, Jesus movement? Come on. Jesus movement was this movement where it was like God was just stirring up people through the Vineyard Church and through all kinds of things that were happening on the West Coast. All these drug addicts were getting saved everywhere. People were just, they were high one weekend, then they'd have a vision of the Lord, and then they'd walk away from their drug addictions and they'd start serving Jesus, and you couldn't shut these kids up. They were 16, 17, 18 years old. They're writing songs. And I love some of the songs that they wrote. In fact, some of them my family sings all the time, you know. Why don't you look into Jesus? It's one of my favorites. And some great, great songs. Don't ever buy a Larry Norman CD if you don't want to be normal, because they're all weird. But I have like 7 of his CDs. And I just love them. But these evangelists shook up this little church because they had the guts, the gall, the stupidity to actually go out and share the good news with people that didn't know what Christianity was supposed to look like, smell like, and act like. And those people actually believed. They actually said, well, I received that. I want that. I want what you got. And so literally one Sunday in that little church, about 75 kids all got saved that same weekend, and they came in. A lot of the girls had tube tops on. I'm telling you right now, there would be some head covering. The wives would be covering up the heads of the brothers in the Lord. They'd be like, don't you even. Now, no outreach whatsoever. You know? And they'd just be all kinds of messed up, uncomfortable. They came in without shoes. Why? Because they were hippie kids. They didn't know what to do. And then they didn't know what to say. They didn't know how to pray. They didn't know anything. They were brand new, fresh babies, and they messed up the entire church. But they messed it up and irritated it and agitated it in such a good way, that church grew from 75 to 500 in less than a year. Why? Because we need agitators who stir up the spirit of someone else. And sometimes you got to have the apostle. You got to have the prophet. You got to have the evangelist. And then you have to have the teacher. Why? Because if God saved you in a tube top, you're going to get rid of the tube top and put on a blazer at some point, you know, or something. Well, not a blazer. What if a dress? I don't know what a blouse. And
Why are you laughing, man? Do you wear a tube top? Come on. I mean, he's like, I don't know, man. I don't know. And I look at it, it's like, you got to have a teacher because a teacher has to give instruction so there's form to contain all that God wants to do in your life. It's very, very important. You got to have the teacher. But man, who are you going to teach if there's no evangelist? You know? Who are you going to teach? And I look at this and I think it's so important because pastors' roles are those shepherds. Shepherds are the kinds of individuals that they're very versatile. They wear multiple hats because there's some days you've got to be a fighter and a warrior. You have to stand in the gap of people and you have to say, hey, this is wrong. Nope, stop that. And you've got to fight some battles that nobody else might be willing. Like David, who was a man after God's own heart, who God is like our heavenly father, a shepherd. David had to fight some lions, fight some bears. Sometimes I have to do that. But my lions and bears don't come with fur. They come with all kinds of things, like something from school or something from society or a doctrine that is just wackadoo or something like that. And so then I have to stand, I have to proclaim what's true, and I have to fight and have conversations and all kinds of stuff. And that's part of the heart of a shepherd. And then there's other times you have to kind of be like a nursemaid. And I don't make a good one, but, you know, I can kind of go, it's okay, it's okay. I love you. It's okay. I don't really know what else to do right now, but it's okay. You know, and I love it. And I'll try that and help along. And then there's other times I have to teach. You know, well, hey, try this out. This is a good thing. You know, you do a little bit of whatever. Why? Because that's what the sheep need. And then you have to lead them to greener pastures. You have to lead them over here or that. You got to go somewhere and feed them, right? And that's what a shepherd does. And sometimes that takes some agitation. I guess that's why shepherds have a shepherd's staff. Because sometimes you have to do a little. Sometimes you have to hit a head every now and then and go, ah, stop butting your neighbor. And sometimes you have to use the crook and go catch one that keeps running away. Stop going after that, you know? And, you know, and sometimes it's an email. Sometimes it's a phone call. Sometimes it's just a passing by on a Sunday. Hey, I haven't seen you in a long time. Why? You know, what's going on? And that's just what a shepherd does. And so you stir people up. But what about you? What about you? In 2018, what I hope and what I hunger for is I hunger for the things that God has put in you to be used in partnership with everyone else in this room to stir up the Spirit of God. To stir up the Spirit of God. And how that's going to happen is simply summed up in this way. Zeal. 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 So if you want to know my true answer to 2018, what I want seen in you and in me, I want to see zeal. I want to see zeal because zeal is some of the most powerful things to motivate people. I look at it and I feel like, man, with zeal, people get stirred up. Their hearts get touched and all kinds of things happen. I want to share with you this story. In 1853, there was a denominational missional society. There's this mission society, and they were really concerned because in this town called Ongol, India, there was a church, a mission outpost. This mission outpost was there, and they had not won any converts more than 15 converts in 10 years. They had been plugging away and working really, really hard, and there was no real converts to show for it. So there in India, 15 people got saved. And so then this panel of missionary guys who are leading it, they get together and they say, you know what, maybe we should close this down and spend the funds and the energies better in some other area. But a part of this mission group was a man by the name of Samuel Smith. Anybody know that name? He wrote the song, My Country, Tis of Thee. Ha! You know that song, don't you? You sing it in school still? Do we? Do we not? No? That's another sermon. That's another sermon. You know, that's another sermon. We'll save that for July, okay? But he wrote the song, My Country, Tis of Thee. I can still sing it. Why? Because when I grew up in school, we had to sing it every single morning. Every single morning, along with the pledge. My country, tis. I look at this. So what did this guy do? He listened to them talk about this, and then all these guys were saying, yeah, maybe we should
close down this mission. But he said, I just don't know. He went to bed that night and he was thinking about nothing else but this mission in India. And then suddenly it was almost as if God stirred a gift in him, song, prose, poetry, stirred something up. And he went and he wrote down this little verse. It's just a couple lines. And then the next day he shows up at this meeting and he shares this with him. He says, gentlemen, this little poem, this little verse stirred in me and I wrote it down. This is what it is. Shine on, lone star, in grief and tears, and sad reverses oft baptized. Shine on, amid even thy founder's fears. Love stars, for in heaven stars are not despised. What you may not know is because it was the only church in that area and they only had 15, they flippantly referred to it as the Lone Star Mission because there's nobody else doing anything and there was so little. When all of those on the mission board heard this, his passion and his gift in him did something in them and they went, you know what, Mr. Smith, we can't close it. It's just not God. You're right. We can't close it. So they agreed to continue to fund it. And thank God someone had a gift in them and was willing to stir up or share it in someone else, because within just a matter of a couple decades, that church with 15 people in India grew to over 15,000. 15,000 people got saved. And honestly, there is so much transformation that's happening still in that country. It's amazing. And it's often something that it blows our mind. We'll never know this until we get into heaven. And God says, there was another moment, just like that moment with Mr. Smith, where someone's gift stirred up, his zeal stirred up another's, so that there could be some miraculous thing happening so that people's lives could be transformed. And I'll be honest, the Gideons put together some great statistics and stuff like that. And let me just share with you a few that I remember. The most motivating for me right now is this, that America is the third most unreached people group for God. We are the third most unreached people group for God in the world. We are being outreached in almost every other major country. I look at this and I think, why? Why? Because there's very little zeal in the church of God today. There's very little passion in the church of God today. There's very little that stirs our hearts to get us to get off our butts and do something for God. Why? We just don't care anymore. We've grown cold. We don't feel anymore. It's like that skit, that stupid Monty Python-esque skit. Is this the heart department? I think my heart's dead. Yes. If I were to say what the Gideons say, today in America, yes, 4 out of 5 people who say they are Christians don't even go to church anymore. They don't gather. They don't get around other Christians. They just call themselves something. It's a label, it's a title, and it's nothing more than that. And I look at that and I think, what are we doing wrong? It is not growing. It is actually dying on the vine. Why? We need more zeal. We need more passionate people. And you know what? It can't be one person. I am just one element in an entire body of Christ. I can't be the hands and feet. I can't be the eyes if that's not what I'm supposed to be. I'm a pastor. My job is just a shepherd. But what I need is I need some evangelists. I need somebody with some guts to get out there in the trenches of Green Bay and say, hey, I love you. Nobody else is probably going to love you like Jesus loves you, and I'm here to tell you something. Why don't you come to my church? They're not scared by tube tops. Okay, maybe Petraea is scared of tube tops, but you know, I'm not. Jesus, I did. You know, and you can be barefoot, just not in winter, you know, because that's stupid. But I mean, just come to church. You need to know what Jesus is wanting to share with you. We've got to have people who love people right where they're at and almost do whatever it takes to get them into church. But it can't just be them. We also need those that are apostles and prophets. We need people who are not afraid to stand up and declare what God is saying anywhere God is saying to say it. That's very, very important. And not just that, but in this congregation, you and I, this is no longer the season to be timid or shy about what God's put inside of you. Ooh, this is good. So what does it look like? Okay, I'm gonna scratch my nose for a second. And Trish, come on up. He's right there. I'm not gonna make you do anything crazy. I'm just gonna use you as an example. Gary, come on up. Come on, Gary, man. Come on up. Let's say, where's Matt? Matt, come on up. Bill, you've been up here already. You just gotta come up here again. Come on. Mikey, get on up here. Carrie, get on up here. I see. I like this. All right, so this is enough. If I get everybody else, it's gonna be almost everybody in the church. So, and Kurt just walked out because he knew I was probably gonna, where's Kurt? Kurt's right there. Come on down, Kurt. So I'm gonna say Kurt's down here too. Okay. All right. Right here, Kurt, because I'm going to pick on you first. Thanks. So, okay. So some of this is really rooted in just truth, what I know about these folks and what I sense in the spirit about these folks. But this is just for our benefit. Okay, so last year, we could get away with a little timidity. That's last year. That's 2017. 2018, what God wants is boldness out of every single one of us. So God has this guy right here. He is often an evangelist. Most of the time in the last year, he's been evangelizing at the old folks' home. Lots of people get saved at the old folks' home. He tells me that, and he's like, it's awesome because people get saved. And I say, that's great. We need young people to get saved, don't we? We need young people. Kurt, would you do me a favor and just go grab someone that you think might pass for an evangelist for young people? Anybody. Just go grab somebody. Well, bring him over here. This is it. All right. So, okay. Oh, don't separate. We need all the evangelists together. Okay. So, now here's what happens. We need people to stir each other's zeal up. We have to. Like cheerleaders. In essence, you've got to say one to another, hey, you're an evangelist. You need to get out there and proclaim the word. And you got to tell this guy. You got to say, hey, Mikey. Why are you being so quiet, man? Get out there where all the people are. You got to start talking about God. And then you got to tell him, yeah, come on, let's go grab some more old folks. Let's get them saved, you know? And he goes, why don't you take this guy to the kids? They might be scared to death it might wake them up. You never know. And you just, together, you can tackle a kid and bring him to church. I mean, that's amazing. But stir it up. All right, so then we've got someone over here. She's got this prophetic gift. She's got this teaching gift. You need to go over there by Gary. Get over there by Gary, because Gary tends to speak out a lot, doesn't he? The Lord moves on his heart, and right in his service like today, the Lord drops something in his spirit, in his heart, and he just has to share. And he's willing, and he just does it. So Trisha does it too. How many of you have become aware that sometimes God will speak, and these two are willing vessels, and they'll just respond, right? Okay, so now let me just be frank with you. They are not alone. I've heard many of you. At different times, I've heard some, like Donna. Oh, the Lord speaks, and Donna says, all right, God, I'm going to do it, and stuff like that. She gets up there, and I don't know what you feel, but every time the Lord tells me to do something, there's always that, maybe it's not God. Maybe it's really not God. It could just be pizza. You know, it could just be pizza. Have you guys ever felt that? It's funny, but I'm always amazed that we would never blame God for an encouraging word that he drops in our hearts. We always seem to blame the devil for it. Yeah, it's probably the devil that wants me to get up in front of people and encourage them. No, it's not at all. It's the Lord. He's wanting to stir something up. And that means he needs willing people. So would you two just go grab somebody just together? Just go grab somebody you know could be used in that way, whether it's true or not. Oh, and then, okay, this guy, what I love about this guy is he's not just a servant, but he can function. He's like another pastor shepherd, isn't he? He can put one hat on and he can say, I'm going to lead a small group. He can put another hat on and he says, I'm going to teach a little here. He'll put another hat on and it will be installing a phone. No, and that phase is gone. That's 2017, I'm telling you. 2018 is something new. God is doing something new. It's not just him, though, but it's also with you, too. You get over here, too. God is doing new things in them. They're shepherding new people. They're teaching new people. They're encouraging new people. There's functions that they've got to do. They are stirring people up. All right, would you go grab another couple that you want to stir up? Any couple, just go grab somebody. All right, Matt. Okay, so Matt, I'll tell you what I love about this guy. This guy right here is a servant. This guy is so willing. I'm amazed sometimes at what he's willing to do, and with a smile. It blows me away, because I'll say, hey man, what about this? And he'll be like, sure, that sounds great. Secretly in my heart, I'm thinking, does he really mean it? Because if somebody asked me, I'd be like, maybe, let me pray about it. Which is Christianese for, I really don't want to do it. Let me wait until I find an excuse. So, but he's never given me that answer, except for the piggy opera. No, I'm teasing. No, we got him in. We got him in. You can't hear about it, though, because it's top secret. You got to show up on Wednesday the 14th. Anyway, so Matt is a servant, and he will serve and he'll work hard no matter what. But there's more that God is doing in him. And you know, whenever I see him zealously serving, it stirs me up. I go, man, I want to be a better servant. Would you go pick any of the guys or the girls that you go, I know this person is a servant. I just want to encourage them. There's at least another 5 or 10 in the crowd. I look at this and I think it's very, very powerful. We got Carrie over there, and we haven't picked on Carrie at all yet. So come on over here, Carrie. I love this. Okay, so the funny thing is, look at that. Oh, you got an entire Cumber clan. Look at that. I think Matt's real gift is evangelism. He got the biggest crowd. Look at that. It's hilarious. So he did. It's like, all right, Matt, you're changing crowds. Okay, you're an evangelist now. Come join Kurt wherever Kurt went. And Kurt's hiding in the back. So I love this. So, all right, so then, you know, there are people who are willing to serve and give what the Lord gives them. And that comes in a growing ways, and we have to have them. So Carrie, and like Mikey and like many others, she serves either in the kids department, teaching with Sarah. She serves with the youth, teaching with the youth. And there are so many times and so many opportunities for people to receive from the Lord and then turn around and teach kids, teach young people, teach someone else. But the comfort that we find has to be spent on others. You can't waste it on just yourself. And Carrie is one of those people who has been willing to say, here I am, send me. Now, what she will tell you is it doesn't come without liabilities. It costs time. It costs energy. It costs all kinds of things. Those are costs. She's a disciple. It's not fun always, but it's exciting. And you get to see great and mighty things done. And you learn throughout the whole process. Carrie, would you do me a favor and go pick another disciple? Someone that you say, you know what? You're a disciple. I want you to follow the Lord as I follow the Lord. Oh, look at that. Oh. Yeah, she's a disciple. I'm telling you. Can I follow her to Hawaii? So. Okay, we're all going to fall forward. Oh, man. All right, so here's my challenge to you. Look at this. It's just every single one of you should be up here in some form or another. Because in church, in 2018, you have to leave all the timidity, all the sitting, all that has to go away. God has put something inside of you that is meant for one purpose and one purpose only, to stir up. Paul told a young minister one time, stir up what was put in you. Stir up that gift of God that was put in you. And the reason for it is because if it's not stirred up, the church isn't going to be built. If it's not stirred up, God can't do what God wants to do in this earth, because he's all about partnering with you. He is all about partnering with you. He could do all of this without us, but instead he chose to partner with you and me. And he says, I will do it if you will stir up the gift. Would you stand with me this morning? I don't know everyone's gift in this room, but I do know this. Every single one of you have giftings and talents, callings that are apparent in your life. Some of you are teachers. Some of you are servants. Some of you are, there's the list goes on and on and on and on. Some of you have great faith. I've been with you. I've been praying with you at times. And I look at it and I think, look at the faith. What a gift of faith. Let's stir that gift up. The church needs it. There's got to be more miracles. There's got to be more breakthroughs. There's got to be all kinds of stuff. We need them. Worshipers, singers, dancers, talented people, creative people. We've got to stir up those gifts and use them. Amen? Ah, love it. Lord is so good. Let's close our eyes and I'm just going to pray. Heavenly Father, in this message today, I just ask for you to accomplish what your heart wants to do. And that is, I really believe that you are calling us out of old forms and old patterns and into something new. And I just ask for you to begin to agitate, stir, quicken in every single one of us what needs to come out in this year. Oh Lord, forgive us for being lazy on gifts and talents that we might have been sitting on for a while. Lord, help us to shake ourselves out of slumber and to wake up and be compelled by your love. Every single person in this place, I ask for the love of Jesus to so overwhelm that you would feel compelled, almost pulled with magnetic power or pushed with some supernatural force to act, to do, to be all that God's called you to be. We can't wait for you. You have to initiate and stir up that gift in you. Heavenly Father, we pray this in your name. Amen. Praise God. Well, we serve a mighty God, don't we? Well, you guys are awesome. That's it. You are dismissed. I will see you on Wednesday. And be blessed. We got our church business meeting in just about 4 or 5 minutes.
Name, another same, your gospel.